Welcome back to Amud Yomi. Today we're continuing to learn Masechtas Megillah. We're on Dav Vav Amud Beis. We're actually beginning on the bottom of Vav Amud Aleph. And as usual and always, we're learning in the merit of the hostages and the soldiers. Everyone should come out home safely and securely, both in body and in spirit, says the Gemara. We were discussing similar teachings from Rav Yitzchak. We're going to discuss something else similar to that. Yesterday we actually discussed how Yitzchak had a conversation with God. This is Yitzchak, the forefather. He said to God, "Can you spare your Esav?" And basically God said, "No, I'm not going to, because there's no redeeming factor about it." But Rav Yitzchak says, Rav Yitzchak, Ma'adik Siv, the Pasuk tells us, this is a Pasuk found in Tehillim, Al titin Hashem me'oivai, Rosh Zimama al tefik yirom muselo. Grant not Hashem the desires of the wicked ones, so don't grant them their desires. And then it says, do not remove his nose ring, that they should be exalted. What does this mean? So Omer Yaakov Nekadosh Baruch Hu. So now we have Yaakov talking to God. Yaakov says to God, Ribono Sha'olam God, Al titein le'esav ha'rasha tavis libo. Do not grant Esav, my brother, the desires of his heart, the evil desires of his heart. Zamo al tefik, and do not remove his nose ring. What does that mean? Again, a nose ring here more sounds like it's like the nose ring that a camel has, some sort of, where you tie the reins to, so that you can control it, keep it under control. So that refers to Germaya Yashag Edom. This Germania, which sounds, by the way, like Germany, that's what Yaakov Emden writes, a province of Edom. If you remove the nose ring, there's no way to control them, and then they will go forth and destroy the entire world. Okay, Rabbi Bar Chanina says, let me tell you something about this place, Germania. There were 300 crown princes in Germania of Edom. And there are 365 chieftains in Rome. Every day these groups go and they fight each other. And one of them is killed. And they spend the next day, rest of the day, trying to appoint a new ruler. The implication seems to be, if they weren't so preoccupied fighting among themselves, then they'd go forth and destroy the world. Once we're discussing, let's do some more. A person says to you, I worked really hard to learn Torah and I did not succeed. We don't believe them. They say, I didn't have to work at all and yet I succeeded in learning Torah. Don't believe them. They tell you, I really labored really hard to learn Torah and I succeeded, and then you can believe them. This is only in regards to Torah study. With regards to business, one's success is solely dependent on the assistance from heaven and not on one's efforts. And with Torah study, it's only with regards to understanding, but when it comes to remembering, to remember what you learn, it's all dependent on success. Your success is all dependent on assistance from heaven. Okay, next. Another teaching from Yitzchak, in Razi Rasha, Bishash Akes Loal Tagiruba. If you see a wicked person who's enjoying in his moment of good fortune, don't contend with him, don't argue with him, don't bother him. Why? Shinemark, the Pasuk here, this one as well is in Tehillim, in Perek Lamed Zayin. The Pasuk says, Al Techarer Bimureim. So the Pasuk says, do not contend with wicked people, do not argue with wicked people. Furthermore, El Shadarka Matzlichen. But he'll be successful. Shnemer, the Pasuk says, again, this is also in Tehillim. The Pasuk says, let's do the whole Pasuk because we're need in a minute. Yachilu Dracha B'chol Eis Marom Mishpatecha Min Negdo Kol Tzararav Yaficha Behem. The Pasuk says, his ways are always successful. Your judgments are far removed from him. All his foes, he blows at them. So this again shows that there are God creates space for a wicked person to have success in this world. So again, Shnemer Yachli Darchav, his ways are successful. Now that he'll emerge victorious in court, you have a person so evil, sometimes God gives them, again, the space in this world to be successful. So Shnemer Mar Mishpat Megiddo, your judgments are far removed from him. That is, that he will be able to pervert justice, and God will not be dealing with him in this world. He'll witness a downfall of his enemies. Shnemer, called Tzorah of Yafiach Behem. All his foes, he blows at them. So again, what we have here is that sometimes God allows the wicked to succeed in this world so that they don't get any reward in the next world. And therefore, we see from Tehillim that when they seem successful, don't contend with them. Don't argue with them. Don't torment them, because this is their time to be successful. The Gemara then says, "Any, is this really true? One shouldn't antagonize wicked people." Omar Rav Yochanan b'shem Rav Shimon bar Yochai. Said Rav Yochanan, the name of this Rav Shimon bar Yochai, "Mutar lis garos be Rav Shimon b'mahaz." A person could contend with, could antagonize the wicked in this world. Shenemar, because the pasuk says this is what it is in Mishlei. Oz v'tor yahalu rosh v'shom v'tor yaski rubam. Those who forsake the Torah praise the wicked, and those who dear to the Torah contend with them. As in those who forsake the Torah, we see finally praising the wicked. But all those who are Ova Hashem sinura, those who adhere to the Torah, who love God, are going to fight and protest. But Tani, furthermore, is taught in a brisa, Rav Distai bar Musan Omar, Mutlas Garz B'Sham Olam Hazah. A person is allowed to antagonize the wicked in this world. Vim Lach Sha'adim Lomar, and a person should say to you, "How can you do that? Don't we know the previous pasuk? Al Ta'achim B'Mereim, Al Tikana B'Esel Allah. Not content with wicked, not be zealous against evildoers," as in seeming like, do your thing. Do your thing. Mishaliba Nafga Omer Kane. So, know that when you are trying to quote this pasuk, that's really your conscience, which is telling you that you don't really want to fight with them, that you're fearful that being punished with them. Okay. Fine. Ella, rather, how should you read the pasuk? Not al ta'achim b'mareim, do not contend with the wicked, but rather do not compete with the wicked, as in don't try to be like them. Leo's tomorrow to be like them. Al tikana beisa also, to not be envious of the evildoers, let's go osa obla, because you want to be like evildoers. And similarly, when it says, let not your heart envy sinners. So again, what we have here is a bunch of psukim which tell us that you could contend with them, and that we don't want to. It seems you don't want to get in trouble, but actually, really, you're allowed to contend with them, you're antagonize them. But what you should definitely not do is try to emulate wicked people. But what do we have here? So we have Rav Yitzchak, who says one shouldn't argue with them. And then we had the next part where the Gemara says, this is really true, but Rav Yochanan said in the name of Shimon Yochai, one should argue with the wicked. Lo kasha, ha, emili de'idei, ha, emili de'shmaya. That in regards to your personal affair, so you don't have to don't argue with the wicked. When it comes to defending God's affairs, defending Torah mitzvot, so then as we said, oh, v'Hashem sinura, you should protest. He was aim, or you can say, ha, but emili de'idei. This, both these Rav Yitzchak and Rav Shimon Yochai are talking about one's personal affairs. Lo kasha. A purely righteous person, so then they can antagonize the wicked, and probably because they're doing it totally lishma, they're doing it because they're trying to defend God's honor, and they have no personal negios. It's not because they want to, you know, they feel good about protesting. When you say you should antagonize the wicked, that's because you're not totally righteous, and you know, maybe part of it's personal that you're trying to attack them, maybe you're getting a thrill out of the protest, and that's not appropriate. Rav Huna says, my dixiv, the pasuk here says in Chavakuk, why do you look upon them that deal treacherously and remain silent when the wicked swallow up one who is more righteous than he? Tzadik imeni bala. That is to say, a wicked person can swallow up one who is merely more righteous than himself. Tzadik gomer ain't a bala, but he cannot swallow up one who is completely righteous. When a person is enjoying good fortune, it's different. Then you shouldn't antagonize them. Let them enjoy their success now, and then they'll pay for it later on. Okay, Amr Ula. Italia shall yavin zekrach gadol shi Rome. A new point. There was a city called Italia in Rome. It was so great that it was 300 parsa by 300 parsa. Parsa is 4 mil, which is 8,000 amos, you know, about 3 miles. So you can do 300 parsa. So 300 by, you know, 300 parsa by 300 parsa is a very large amount of space. That's 365 hay. Shvaka, that's 655 marketplaces. That's how wealthy it was. Timon Mezchama, it corresponds to the number of days in the year. The smallest of the marketplace was for the those selling birds. And it was 16 mil by 16 mil. Again, a mil is 2,000 amos, roughly 4,000 feet. So you can it's very large. The king would dine in one of these marketplaces every day. Everyone who lives in the city, even though we're not born there, note the process based on Melch, would take a stipend, would get paid by the king's palace, reverse taxes. And similarly, anyone who's born there, even that lived there, note the process based on Melch, they would take again some sort of stipend from the king's palace. 3,000 bathhouses. There are 500 windows, which would direct all the smoke away from the city walls. And Rashi points out, so the walls wouldn't come blackened. One side was the ocean. One side was protected by the mountains and hills. There's a barrier of iron. There was a swamp. Okay, so we're just some very large city in Rome. Why are we bringing it up now? Not really sure. Good. Let's move on to the Mishnah. So this Mishnah is the first of what we call the Ein Beins, that we're going to compare and contrast various phenomena in our religion and show how they're similar and how they contrast. So we're going to open up talking about the similarities and the differences between Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni. So let's begin. Korz Megillah of Adar Rishon. A person reads Megillah on the first Adar, like this year, this Arba Shan and subsequent to Purim, Yudalid of Adar Rishon, they Bezdin announces we're actually going creating a leap year, we're inserting a second Adar in. Karnas by Adar Sheni, so they must read it again in Adar Sheni. Very important. The Tanakhama says that if you read it in first Adar and they make a second Adar, you must read the Megillah again. Ain bein Adar Rishon l'Adar Sheni, because there's no difference between the first Adar and the second Adar. Kriyas Megillah and Tanas of Yonim accept in respect to the Megillah and the gifts to the poor, which seemingly mean that one who does them in the first Adar has not fulfilled their obligation and must do it again in the second Adar. Okay. What about the Suda? What about all that stuff? So we'll come to that later. Holy and Seder Parsha. So what would be a place where they're similar? What would be a similarity? Parsha Zeh Shavan. That we know there are four parshos we read leading up to Pesach, really. Leading up to Pesach, which we're going to... That those are Shkolim, Zachar, Parah, and Achodesh. A lot more of that coming up later on in this Masechta. They are the same. That if you read them in the first or the second Adar, regardless of when you read them, you fulfill your obligation. So our Mishnah says no difference, meaning to say that whether you read them in the first or the second, you fulfill your obligation. But with respect to Megillah, you have to read it in the second, even if you already did read it in the first. Money Masnisa, who is the author of Mishnah? Let's see, there are going to be three different attempts, or going to be three different opinions out there we're going to reject as the authors of our Mishnah. Lo Tanakama, they can't be the Tanakama. The lower Rabbi Elazar bar Yosi, can't be Elazar bar Yosi. The lower Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, our Mishnah is not neither Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Did Tanya. So now let's go through these three opinions of the Tanakama, Rabbi Elazar ben Yosi, and Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel to show how they're not our Mishnah. Again, our Mishnah says that if you read the Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni are the same, with the exception of if you read Megillah and Adar Rishon, you must read it again in Adar Sheni. Says our Brisa. Karz Megillah Adar Rishon, but it's Arba Shana. So you read the Megillah in the first Adar and they make a leap year. Kodesh Shabbat Adar Sheni, so then you must read it again in the second Adar. Why? Shekol Mitzvah Shenegas B'Sheni, Negas B'Rishon. Because all the mitzvahs that apply in the second Adar can apply in the first Adar as well. Chutz B'Mikra Megillah, with the exception of Mikra Megillah. So now that actually sounds like our Mishnah, so we're going to figure out why that can't be our Mishnah in a moment. Relez Bar Yosi Omer, Ein Karnas Shabbat Adar Sheni. If you read the Megillah in the first Adar, you do not need to. You need not read it again in the second Adar. Why? Because basically he's saying Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni are virtually the same, and choose the Adar you want to celebrate. You must read again in the second Adar. Because all the mitzvahs that apply in the second Adar do not apply in the first Adar. And the only similarity between Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni is the fact that both of them, Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni, Purim, you're not allowed to eulogize and to fast. Okay, so now also Rosh Hashanah Gamliel also sounds like the Tanakhama here, right? Both Rosh Hashanah Gamliel and Tanakhama seem to say that you must read it again the second Adar. So Rosh Hashanah Gamliel, Hainu Tanakhama, they're exactly the same. What's going on here? Amar Papa, Seder Parshik Benayu. No, they disagree in regards to the four Parshos. Because Tanakhama says you should read the four parshas lichatchila in the second Adar, v'i avod b'shrishon avod. But if they read them in the first Adar, then b'diavad it works. Bar mikra megillah da'afal gav the kar b'rishon kar b'sheni. Except with the exception of mikra megillah, if you read the first Adar, you must read again the second Adar. Relez bar yosi savar, relez bar yosi hold. I feel mikra megillah chilah b'rishon. You can read it in the first Adar. Shimi gamliel savar. I feel seder parshas in kar ikar b'rishon kar b'sheni. So that's the difference. So again, we had three opinions. Then the Gemara says Tanakhama and Rosh Hashanah Gamliel seemingly are the same. Both of them say you have to read Megillah again the second Adar. And the answer is what's the difference between them? How do we differentiate them? According to Tanakhama, when it comes to the Arba Parshos, the four Parshos, if you read them in the first Adar, you need not read them again the second Adar. Again, lichatchila, one should read them in the second Adar, but if you make a mistake or they only make an Ibriyar, a leap year after you read the Parshos, or two of the parashos, so then you don't have to read them again. Whereas Rav Shimon Gamliel says, no, that if you do a leap year, you must read the parashas again. They have to be read in the second Adar. Okay, so that's the difference. Money. So then who again is the author of Mishnah? E Tanakama. If you see the author of Mishnah, Tanakama, Kushya Matanos. That it's a problem with the Matanos, because our Mishnah says that Matanos of Yonim can only be done in the second Adar. Says our Mishnah. Again, look back up. Ein Bein Adar Rishon, the Adar Sheni, Ella, Kriyas Megillah, Matanos of Yonim. That implies seems to imply Matanos of Yonim must be done in the second Adar, whereas the Tanakama never mentions that. So that's therefore he can't be the author of Mishnah. He was very Yosi, because he did not make Megillah. He thinks you can make Megillah in the first Adar. Definitely not him. He was Shimon Gamliel, because he did a parashos. Then our Gemara opened up and said that how are Adar Rishon, Adar Sheni similar? What's the similarity? The fact that the four parashos can be read in either of them, and Rav Shimon Gamliel clearly rejects that. So Mishnah says, don't lo in Tanakama. It must be the Tanakama. Tanakama, Mikra Megillah. Who are the Matanos of Yonim? As you've seen multiple times already, that Matanos of Yonim are inextricably linked with Mikra Megillah, right? We said that the Habahat Talia, they depend on each other. The Aniyim know when you read the Megillah, that's when they get the Matanos of Yonim. They always come together. In fact, if Megillah is read on the Yud Aleph for Yud Beis, we also say you can fulfill Matanos of Yonim then. And therefore, when the Tanakama writes that you have to repeat the Megillah, Hu Adin, also Matanos of Yonim, so therefore the Tanakama is the author of our Mishnah. Or maybe Lo Mer Shimon Gamliel. Rav Shimon Gamliel is the author of Mishnah. So again, we say, how can Rav Shimon Gamliel be the author of our Mishnah? Didn't we just say Rav Shimon Gamliel said, if you read the four parshas in the first Adar, you must read them again in the second Adar, whereas our Mishnah said that they're the same, at least on a level of B'diavad. So in Chasuri Mechzor, there's some missing words in our Mishnah. Let's reread our Mishnah. Ein bin Adar Rishon, Ein bin Arba also Shavad Rishon, the Yudal Shavad Adar Sheni. There's no difference between the 14th of the first Adar and the 14th of the second Adar. So now we're not discussing the months altogether. Meaning, we say Ein Bein Adar Rishon, Adar Sheni, it implies the entire month. The month in its entirety with all the halachas that come along with that month, there's no difference. He's saying, no. There's no difference between the 14th, I Purim of Adar Rishon, and Purim Adar Sheni, Ela Mikra Megillah, Tanos of Yonim. Halin Hespidu, Tanos, Zev, Zev, Shavin. That except Megillah and the gifts of the poor, which must be read in the second Adar, with regard to Yulz and fasting, both of them are Aser. You will say the Parshas Lo Emra, and we never discussed the idea of reading four Parshas. That's about Adar. We're not discussing Adar, we're just discussing particularly Purim. Amar Rav Chiya Bar Oven, Amar Rav Yochanan, here's the Halacha, ready? Hilchos HaKrib Shem and Gamlil, Shnemar Mishim Rav Yossi. The law is according to Shem and Gamlil, Rav Yossi, that everything must be done in the second Adar. That being the case, when it comes to yard sites, some keep it in the first Adar. Okay. Oma Rabbi Yochanan. Vishneim Mikra Echadarshu. Both of them, as in Rav Shimon Gamliel, who says everything takes place in the second Adar, and Elizabeth Yossi, who says it takes place in the first Adar, learn it from the same verse. The verse says, this verse we've seen before, this one is found in the Megillah. It says, L'kayim leim lios osim es yom arba asel l'chodesh Adar, ves yom chamisha asel bo b'chol shana v'shana. Says the verse, Bechol Shana V'Shana, each and every year, Rav Yossi Osovar, Bechol Shana V'Shana, what does it mean every year? Ma Kol Shana V'Shana Adar V'Shana L'Shvat. Just in every year, Purim is observed in Adar, the closest to the month of Shvat. Afkan Adar V'Shana L'Shvat. Rav Shimon Gamliel, some of them, Bechol Shana V'Shana. Ma Kol Shana V'Shana Adar V'Shana L'Nisan, it's Adar close to Nisan, so too, Afkan Adar V'Shana L'Nisan. Here too, it's Adar close to Nisan. Now, what's gonna cause them to choose their respective positions, Nisan or Shvat? Why would we go to Nisan over Shvat or Shvat over Nisan? Bishlam Elazar Yossi. It's understandable why Elazar Yossi wants to interpret the verse to say the one closest to Shvat. Mistara Taim Made Ein Mavir Al Mitzvos. We have a principle called Ein Mavir Al Mitzvos. We don't pass over Mitzvos. Which, I'm going to say this now, and I could be totally wrong, you can correct me. I think the Shita of Tosfos thinks that's even a Daraisa. But basically, Ein Mavir Al Mitzvos means we don't pass over Mitzvos, which is why when we put our tefillin away in the morning, we put it away so that when we put our hand in the next day, we take the shel yad off first. We don't pass over the shel yosh to get the shel yad. It's why when you construct a shul, you shouldn't pass through different ways in the shul. We want to do mitzvahs, we don't pass over mitzvahs. Excellent. El Rav Shimon Gamliel, my time, why would Rav Shimon Gamliel say, Mavirin ala mitzvahs to put Adar, to put Purim next to Nisan? Amar Rav Tubi, time to Rav Shimon Gamliel, mismoch geula l'geula adif, because you want to put the geula of Nisan next to the geula of, the redemption of Purim next to the redemption of Pesach. That's what we want to do. Which is very interesting. I believe I gave either a drasha or maybe Shabbos HaGadol when I first got here about the connection between Pesach and Purim. In fact, I'll just say this now, I reserve the right to say it again for Shabbos HaGadol Drasha. So for all those of you who are listening, you're going to have to just nod your heads as if the first time you're understanding it when you hear it then. Rashi says, Mishenichnas Adar Marbim B'Simcha. Why? Because we're leading up to Pesach. Leading up to Pesach. Okay. Why that is, not for now. Great. Let's do one more. Oh, let's actually, we'll stop over here. All right. I wish you all a wonderful day.